Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We begin today with the leading Republican in the race for governor of New York, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld, 60 years old, raised in Smithtown, Long Island, and living in New York again since 2000. We will talk about Weld's recent proposal to eliminate the state income tax for anyone making $75,000 a year or less, and his proposal to make state employees give up their traditional pensions and go to a 401k type system instead, and get his reaction to the Massachusetts universal health care experiment leading the news in many places today. Could it work in New York? Governor Weld, thanks for coming on today. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, it's a pleasure as always.
And let me start with this lead story. In much of the country this morning, the Massachusetts legislature and Governor Mitt Romney reaching agreement on a universal health care plan. Medicaid enrollment would be expanded. Other individuals would be required to buy health insurance as individuals or pay tax penalties. And employers would have to pay a fee of about $300 a year per employee if they don't cover their workers. So as a former governor of Massachusetts, what do you think of this?
You know, I like everything I see, Brian. They took a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it's kind of like a settlement in litigation. None of the stakeholders will be totally satisfied, but it's something that I think all states have tried to chip away at, and it's a much better combination of proposals than just a statewide fiat. Okay, everyone's going to be covered and the taxpayers are going to pay for it, which I think is closer to what has been proposed by some in New York. I think Attorney General Spitzer's proposal to sweep people into Medicaid is rather more state-oriented approach, for example. But I like this Massachusetts compromise. They took a little bit of a lot of different ideas, and I think it's going to be a feather in the cap of the legislature and of Governor Romney.
Would this be a good model for New York if you are governor?
From everything I see so far, I think this has a lot to commend it, Brian, yes.
So might you actually take up the mantle of promoting a plan like this for New York?
A plan like this, yeah. I think it has a lot to be said for it.
Do you have any particular plan in mind yourself prior to this to cover the uninsured in New York?
I have a lot of plans in mind for Medicaid. And, you know, as I say, I think just saying let's sign up everybody into Medicaid so the taxpayers of New York can help pay for them, that is not the way to go in my book. I think you need to import more private sector type mechanisms into the Medicaid program and change some of the rather odd rules that New York has that seem designed to increase the size and scope of the Medicaid program as opposed to managing it or controlling the cost. When I was in office in Massachusetts, we cut the growth in the Medicaid program from 17% to 3% in just a couple of years. But the point is you want to have businesses and the individuals participating in this as stakeholders. You don't want the state representing the taxpayers to step up and say, okay, we're going to just order that this whole thing be done and the taxpayers will pay for it.
So I know you've criticized Elliot Spitzer for not doing enough to fight Medicaid fraud, which is a big problem in New York and does come under his purview as Attorney General. But would you also propose something to expand coverage under Medicaid or just cut the expenses?
Well, I think, I mean, the main job on the plate of the governor in New York right now is to cut the out of control cost of Medicaid. A governor can go to Washington and seek waivers to impose, incorporate private sector approaches into the Medicaid program, and that saves taxpayers money. And as far as I know, the only waiver that New York has obtained is to get permission to sign people up on street corners and in shopping malls, and that, of course, goes in the other direction.
But no specific plan from you at this point to cover more of the uninsured in New York?
Well, as I say, I think the elements, the combination of incentives and penalties in the Massachusetts bill is very intriguing. I think it's worth studying with an eye to adapting a number of those elements, yes.
Governor William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, hoping to become governor of New York, my guest on WNYC. Let's get into your tax relief proposal. There are many ways to cut taxes. You're talking about eliminating the state income tax for anyone making under $75,000 a year. Why propose to do it that way?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the major problem that I see going around the state, and I've been spending a lot of time upstate and a lot of time in Long Island recently, is this state is having trouble holding its 20 to 34-year-olds. Kids are going to college, and then they're looking around for a job that will pay them a wage that will give them the housing and the amenities so that they can raise their kids, and they're not finding it. As a couple of young college grads told me in Schenectady when I was just meeting with some local folks last week, they said, we didn't go to college and learn information technology to get a $24,000 a year job. We can't do it. So I think focusing on jobs in the $50,000 to $75,000 range, it's a rough cut, it's an approximation, but that's a slice of the economy that, you know, those jobs, those wages will support some of the young people who are now leaving and going to Ohio, Michigan, Virginia, Massachusetts. So I wanted to design an incentive that would appeal to people in that bracket. You could either say the first $75,000 is exempt. From a point of view of tax policy, that's much cleaner. It's also twice as expensive as saying nobody making $75,000 or less will pay income tax. I mean, they'd pay other taxes. They'd pay state sales taxes, et cetera. So it wouldn't be a completely free ride. But either way, I think would be a step in the right direction. You know, I'm not one who says, oh, here's a tax cut. How are we possibly going to be able to afford it? Because I don't identify with the we in that sentence. I mean, someone who says that, I think, is identifying with the government. And my motto is kind of the opposite. It's there's no such thing as government money. It's all taxpayers' money.
Well, have you costed out what the state would lose in revenue?
$6.9 billion would be the cost of saying incomes of $75,000 and less are exempt from the state income tax.
That's per year?
Yes, $6.9 billion. It's not the highest figure in the world. I mean, I've also proposed an amendment in New York so that the state legislature would not be able to spend any more than the previous year's revenues. They have this in Colorado. It's been very helpful in holding down spending, and it's been quite a stimulus to the economy. And under my proposal, if there was a surplus over last year's revenues, you would rebate half of that to the taxpayers through a tax rebate, and you'd put the rest into a rainy day fund, a stabilization fund that the state could tap in the event of future downturns, just
so
to be conservative.
Does that take into account inflation, and would you then have to, in effect, cut real services in order to keep that level?
No. It allows for inflation, that sort of thing. So it's not designed. What it prevents is just kind of the growth-like topsy, as we've seen in the New York budget. And, you know, I think the way to approach the budget is to zero base it, by which I mean you don't start out with last year's appropriation in every single account. You start with a clean piece of paper and you say, okay, you know, what do we really need to deliver here and how much is that going to cost? And it's like ripping up your notes after giving a college course every year so you don't give exactly the same course next year.
The $75,000 limit is getting critiqued by some on the left, some on the right. People on the left say if you're going to take $6 billion plus out of a $113 billion state budget, that's still significant, and you need to say what programs you're going to cut and then ask New Yorkers what they'd rather have.
Well, Brian, I don't really buy that. That's the canard that I was referring to, and I'm not surprised that it's coming from critics from liberal think tanks. I mean, that's like a pig not liking a weenie roast. Of course they're not going to like something that cuts taxes, because many of them are basically pro bigger government and thus pro taxes and spending. When I went into office in Massachusetts, I had to cut the budget $1.8 billion out of a $14 billion budget, which is, you know, way more than 10%. In my first 2 months in office, I was sworn in on June 3rd. I had to file a balanced budget by Constitution on February 28th. And everyone said, oh, you can't possibly do this. Well, that's not true. If you haven't absorbed the 1,001 reasons why it's impossible to change anything in Albany, you know, by being there for years and years and years, then it's very easy to redesign the service delivery system.
So you're saying you could redesign the service delivery system in a way that would still leave people satisfied with what they're getting on the things they value from state government, education, whatever it is.
Absolutely. I trimmed 8,000 workers off the state payroll my first year out of 72,000. So, again, it was over 10%. And I never heard boo about, oh, gosh, the state workforce is now too small. I mean, these levels of spending are not inevitable. They're the product of years of habit, and they're habits that's got to be kicked.
And people on the right say eliminate the taxes on the first $75,000 of income for anyone because, as one newspaper editorial put it, your version, quote, of course, would be unfair to people making more than $75,000.
Yeah, that is, from a point of view of tax policy, that is the cleaner way to approach it. That costs out at closer to $14 billion than $7 billion, and I'm not, I don't have my eyes closed to the fact that you've still got to balance the budget. And you want to, I will, before too long, come up with a package of tax cuts. And ideally, I think the state income tax at 6.85% is too high. Both fellows on the other ticket, the likely ticket, Elliot Spitzer and Senator David Patterson, have said in so many words they'd like to see the state income tax raised. Attorney General Spitzer has said he'd like to see the state income tax used to help pay for schools. Well, it's not now. So if you do that, you're going to be raising the state income tax. Senator Patterson has said quite clearly, I believe, that he feels the state income tax should be raised in an amount sufficient to defray whatever order comes down from the courts in the CFE, the fiscal equity funding suit about education. And that would have to be not only the New York City suit, but any copycat piggyback suits that were filed in upstate and Long Island.
But
and that would be
Spitzer,
quite, some people say that would be as much as a 50% increase in the income tax. I mean, we could absolutely forget attracting any high-end jobs to upstate New York and Long Island, and probably New York City, within limits, if we had a 50% increase in the state income tax.
William Weld, my guest on WNYC, running for the Republican nomination for governor of New York. Spitzer hasn't explicitly called for a state income tax hike, correct?
I believe he said that he would like to see the state income tax help pay for schools, for K-12 education.
I want to go on to your proposal to save money by forcing state employees into 401k-type pensions. Would that only apply to new employees?
Oh, yeah. No, by Constitution, you can't adjust the pension rights or benefits of anyone who now works for the state. So everyone, all current workers would be grandfathered from this. And all I'm saying is that in the private sector, the current wave, the most efficient approach seems to be a defined contribution plan rather than a defined benefit plan. And I think that should be good enough for people that work for the public. Professors at SUNY, I believe, have had that system for a number of years. And if you have a defined contribution plan, you get portability, so people can take it from job to job. You get immediate vesting. Those are two very worker-friendly, pro-worker provisions. And from the point of view of a public entity, the problem with a defined benefit plan, such as New York now has, is that in good years, the legislature may say, oh, times are so good, tax revenues are so great, you don't have to put anything in this year. And then, the chickens come home to roost 3-4 years later.
And we have 15 seconds left.
Yeah, there's a shortfall, and they got to pay triple. So both from the point of view of logic and fairness, I think we should change our pension plan, save a ton of money by moving to a defined contribution plan.
We're out of time for today, but I look forward to a spirited policy debate among the candidates as these elections draw closer, and I hope we'll have you back multiple times.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Governor William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, hoping to become governor of New York. And later in the program, we'll take a closer look at the Massachusetts Universal Health Coverage Plan that we talked about and get some other reactions. Coming up next, the guest worker bill teeters in the Senate. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.